Israeli forces have breached the Al-Shifa hospital compound in Gaza City, where hundreds of people are still trapped. CBS's Doug Williams has more from Tel Aviv.
Outside of the hospital, the Israelis say they neutralized four Hamas militants and say they've already found evidence that Hamas was using Al-Shifa as a, quote, terror headquarters. They called their progress today slow and deliberate.
The Israeli military says Hamas was using it as a bunker. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Israel says its troops uncovered weapons and terror infrastructure inside the hospital. The National Security Council's John Kirby said the U.S. gave no green light for the raid.
We did not give an okay to their military operations around the hospital in similar fashion to the fact that we don't give okays to their other tactical operations.
Meantime, Hamas will reportedly prioritize the release of children as it negotiates with Israel. Thomas Hand's 8-year-old daughter Emily is among them.
Obviously, we hope that she'd be released before her birthday. There's very little time for that. This Friday, the 17th, that'd be the best birthday present ever.
Hand on CBS Mornings. President Biden's meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping today at APEC in San Francisco for the first time in more than a year. CBS's Weijia Jiang is there.
President Biden said that he would consider the summit a success if the two leaders could agree to get back to normal when it comes to communications, especially when it comes to U.S. and Chinese military. They have not been communicating since August 2022, when then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi traveled to Taiwan. The Chinese interpreted that as a slight.
Trade is also expected to be a tough topic. President Biden's son Hunter wants a judge to subpoena some high-profile names in his gun case.
Hunter Biden's lawyers are asking for documents not only from former President Trump, but also from top Department of Justice officials, including former Attorney General William Barr. His defense team cites public reporting suggesting that Trump applied incessant, improper, and partisan pressure to Barr and others to investigate Hunter Biden. The 53-year-old pleaded not guilty last month to charges he lied about his drug use while buying a handgun. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
The FAA is citing some major issues for causing those close calls on runways this year. CBS's Peter Greenberg.
The problem, of course, gets down to staffing. There are at least three air traffic control centers in this country that are below the 85% staffing threshold. That's a serious problem because this is the one job you don't want people working overtime on.
A new report says it also needs more funding from Congress. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. If you get a text from the U.S. Postal Service, ignore it. Here's Brittany Merlot to tell you why.
Scammers are posing as the USPS and targeting people through text messages. Police say that scammers send a text to someone saying that they received a package, but there is incorrect information. They then provide a link or a QR code and ask people to click the link to confirm. Once the victim is on the website, scammers ask for credit card information, saying that they need to deliver the package. USPS says if you get a text like this, ignore it, because they do not send text messages asking for credit card information.
The Wisconsin Rapids Firefighters Charitable Foundation raised $8,000 this year to help find a cure for muscular dystrophy. Yesterday, they presented the check for the MDA Fill the Boot campaign. This project has been sponsored by the International Association of Firefighters in the U.S. for the past 7 decades. They've raised over $679 million. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 38. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this November 15th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Right now, we have in studio not only our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that we say hello and good afternoon to, encourage you to support them. Go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page. We have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer with us. Shane, good to see you.
Good afternoon. Good to see you.
How you been?
I've been well, and you?
Doing good. Doing good. We appreciate the time, as always. The last time you were with us, we had some breaking news. That went over. That was fun. That was interesting. That was something that I was curious, since it's been about a month since you've joined us, and you made your announcement. For those that did not hear, you will not be seeking a third term.
Correct.
What kind of feedback have you gotten since the announcement?
A lot of, will you reconsider?
Yeah.
I got a lot of that. And
that's just for me. That's just, no, I'm joking.
I've had a number of people come hat in hand, request me to reconsider. But I think it's time, you know. And we'll see what happens. You know, I think there's a gentleman from council, hopefully will run. You know, I spoke to a gentleman this morning, and I guess there's some other guy that's going to run. And mm-hmm. So we'll see how this all turns out.
Yeah. How is it, you make the announcement, this is something I know you well enough to know you don't do anything really off the cuff. You thought about this, you talked to your family about it, something you've thought deeply about. Mm-hmm. There's that part of it, and then there's actually doing it, and then the aftermath of it. Mm-hmm. How have you been with your decision in the aftermath of it?
You know, I feel really good with my decision. You know, I kind of made the decision, and that's where I'm going with it, but you know, there's times, you know, I worry about, you know, the community and ultimately the organization, but there's been many mayors before me and there'll be many mayors after me, and life will go on and the city will be gone, and hopefully it will be the next mayor will do things even better and make things better, and it's all we can hope for. Try to be a little optimistic, glass half full kind.
Yeah. You know, we've touched on this a little bit. There are some parallels between what you do, what I'm doing, and what a lot of our team here at WFHR does. There's certain jobs you do, certainly for the paycheck. And then there's jobs that you do where it's good to get that paycheck, certainly, of course. You got to get the lights on.
Yep.
But it's a passion. It's something that you care about. You don't run for public office unless you really care about your community at this level. There isn't a whole lot of, like, you know, Rockefellers running for mayor or anything like that. You don't get rich doing something like this.
No,
is my point.
You don't work in government and jobs, certain jobs, just for you know, the income, because the amount of time you put in we figure out what you make per hour probably is not the greatest, but
yeah,
that's not why you do it. There's plenty of other jobs you can go do if you just want to make money.
You do this, you throw your hat in the ring, you do something like this because you care, because you see something that, okay, there's a need here I can help with, I can assist, I can make my community better. And that's great. And you get involved in those things. But then there's the actual, like, process, and you're doing it, and you're going through the grind and the hardships. You go through a pandemic, for God's sake, in all of this process. And you get to this point in your career where you are going to walk away from this. Mm-hmm. But it's... You went into this caring and having a passion. You do all this work, and then there is the idea of leaving that work, of walking away from it. And that you, there's a personal aspect. There's a passion involved in this, and it's not. While it's understandable, you told us you feel good about this decision. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make it easy to make.
No.
It's not like it's you know, just walking away, and that you put a lot into this. There's a lot of projects that are still going on, and it may be continuing when you leave. So I imagine there's that part of this too, where it feels good and it feels like the right decision, but it's also that doesn't make it easy.
No, it doesn't. And like I said, you know, it's staff, and it's you're worried about, you know, hopefully everything's going to be okay, because I've always felt a strong connection with staff and had loyalty there, and which also I always say it's kind of been my biggest weakness, because, you know, when you evaluate staff and needs, it's more personal if you kind of have that connection, where the next mayor may not have that connection and may be like, oh, we're just going to get rid of this and this, and that's part of it, though. And unfortunately, that's part of working in an environment where your leadership is elected, and that can easily happen. And so I worry about that a little bit, and, you know, because I do think we have a pretty phenomenal staff and a lot of great people there.
What are we got some time here before the, you know, you're done and everything, of course. But I thought that one of the things we could do in our conversations leading up to your end of your run here is not only touching on these subjects, but different things that you've learned in this position that may help the benefit the next mayor. So we'll touch on this, and it's a little homework for you, I guess, to think about for future interviews and everything. But when it comes to those projects, when it comes to those coworkers you have, can't be easy. To walk away from. What are you hopeful about with the next mayor that they will bring to the office?
Well, I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a good answer.
I'm kind of waiting and seeing who actually ends up falling from the apple tree, and then kind of seeing what their thoughts are, and everyone thinks, I'm going to run for mayor, but people really don't understand what even the job is, what's involved. I always recommend you should be on city council first, because it's where that whole learning curve is really going to take off. And it's kind of hard to step in the mayor's office and try to learn, because it's just inundated. The floodgates open, it's just nonstop, especially when you first get elected. There's so many things to do, especially in April. There's a lot of appointments to boards and commissions, and you're trying to scramble to find people and make those appointments, and because those boards and commissions still have to continue to operate. And, I don't know, a lot of people in 4 years, I've appointed a lot of people to these boards and commissions, and, are they going to stay? Are they going to go? You just don't know some of those transitions, too. And I'm just kind of waiting and seeing to see who that person is. But I think the most important thing, they have to have a passion for the community and understand that, your nights and weekends are potentially, you're going to end up missing family functions. And if you have kids, you're going to miss kids' events. And it's just, it's unfortunately part of it. But
yeah, it's part of the sacrifice of public service.
Yeah, that's what you sign up for. And ultimately, that's probably the biggest thing why I'm getting out, a big piece of the reason why.
Sure. But that is something to keep in mind, and I appreciate you bringing a voice to that too, because it's not something that we think about. I think when we ask people to be a part, do a public service, when we ask people to be on boards or be a mayor or something along those lines, that's the part that can get lost in the shuffle sometimes. It's also noteworthy to me in the community in the time that's, it's been a short amount of time since you made the announcement, but in this position, I am the water cooler. Like, people just come in here, and there's just conversations that are going about all the time, and not always, in fact, most of the time, it has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about on the air. It's more just conversation, and I haven't heard from one person about anybody thinking about running, and I thought that was quite interesting, because I know that in years past that has been the case. I'm encouraged that you have. That's more important than if I have, I'm encouraged to hear that people are thinking about this, but... It is noteworthy, I would think, that, when we were kids, Shane, that it felt like people were just up and running to run for public office or to be a part of these things. That has changed a lot.
A whole lot.
And I know that that change has a little bit to do with part of why you're leaving office. So not only do I think that's something for people to keep in mind, the next mayor and that, but I think it's something as us as citizens, more importantly, to keep in mind, that we can push away good people. Like this happens. It isn't just in a personal relationship that you can do this. We can do this with public officials as well.
Yeah, you got to have thick skin, because you're going to hear nothing but mostly bad stuff, or how bad you're doing the job, or, you should be doing it this way. Everyone's got an opinion, and everyone's willing to share it. But as you can see, not a lot of people are willing to step forward and put themselves out there and face the same scrutiny as they're scrutinizing people. And that makes it a challenge. But it's still about trying to do the greater good, and you let that noise happen, but it's just noise. And a lot of times you have to remind yourself that most likely it's in a very, very small group of people. It's a very minority, but they do have a keyboard or a voice that they're loud with, but not a lot of people agree with them.
Yeah. When it comes to the keyboard cowards out there and those individuals, a child can do what you're doing. It doesn't take a lot of brain power to be able to complain and whine. Children do it every day. What we're looking for are individuals that actually want to make an impact. Yeah. It is not, I'm not at all saying that you're not entitled to your opinion. You're an American, baby. Yeah. That's part of what it, yeah. the beauty of this country. But that comes with... that isn't just something that you get to throw out there. That isn't free. That
responsibility.
There's a responsibility to that. You don't just get to say, hey, this is a problem. Okay, yep. Well, how would you fix that problem? What would you do to make things differently? And also, do it in an adult voice. Mm-hmm. Do it without having to be this one of the a name caller or, again, yeah. acting like a child. The better we handle ourselves as adults, on whether it's on social media or individually in person or anything like that, the more maybe we have of people that want to run for mayor or want to be a part of public service and everything. It can't be lost on us. I can't be the only person seeing this, that the more, whether it is, public officials, the president of the United States or a senator or a congressman or a local mayor, we have had individuals come out of nowhere to just whine and complain and bark and bark and bark and throw threats out there, throw a lot worse and more nasty things out there. And with that happening, well, those individuals aren't running for public office. Those individuals aren't putting their neck out there. It's you guys. It's you, the ones that are doing this. Yeah. And we're getting less and less people that want to do that. And we're getting more and more people that the only people that want to do it are looking for 15 seconds of fame or something like that. That's not the kind of individuals we need. Nope. So I think that you leaving office here is a prime example for the rest of us as a community to look at this and say, well, we could probably treat our people better. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you can't have accountability. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. You can have accountability and you can also show some support or at least hold back, hold your tongue. Mom was right. You know, you ain't got nothing nice to say. Maybe don't say anything.
Yeah, and especially with elected office, most people elected in office are not looking for a job. So it's not like they have to do it. It's something they want to do. And they can easily go find something else to do.
Yeah.
And that's why we see so few people wanting to run. And, yeah, and it's going to hurt. And, you know, everyone went, oh, the mayor has all this power. Well, no, I keep saying the 8 people on the city council collectively as an 8-person group have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. Individually, they have none. But I oversee staff and make staffing decisions and I get the tie-breaking vote, but it's the 8 people on council that has the most power in the community. Collectively, they determine our budgets, they determine laws, ordinances, policies, and collectively they make the decisions. And that's where I always say the true power in government is a collective group. But and if you can get Well, if I can get, and I know this going into it, if I can get 4 people to be one way, I can break the tie and go for another way. And last night, I don't know if we plan on talking about it, but the ATV-UTV ordinance, mm-hmm. It was just kind of like a highlight of our community, how lack of progressive we are. Mm-hmm. And this is, it's very frustrating because everybody talks about wanting Rapids to be different. We need to do things differently. But when it comes to doing something differently, we hold on and say, no, we don't want to do that. Nobody, like I said, has a crystal ball. We don't know if it's going to be a bad thing or a good thing, but to not even try it. I just think that it just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, our biggest problem in our community is when we lost the high-paying jobs in a mill, our median income dropped. And our median income is what businesses use to determine whether or not they want to do business here, mm-hmm. put in a retail store or bring their business here. They're looking at that median income to find out, do people have enough disposable income to be able to purchase my goods and wares? Mm-hmm. Well, the other side of it is, if we're not attracting business, we need to attract people. Mm-hmm. But people can come and bring their income here, which can affect our median income. Mm-hmm. But if we're not willing to do things differently, we're not a big draw for businesses. We're off the interstate. We have our own struggles on that. But we have a great workforce, and if we can't attract new people to want to move here, because it's a lot of the younger people, middle-aged people that are using ATVs and UTVs as a family activity, not to mm-hmm. be a drunken race up and down the street,
yeah.
and which I don't believe it's going to be or would have been, but we need to attract other people here, and one way to do that is to do things that these age group people want to do. And last night, the council voted 6-2 to not pass that ordinance, and... it's a struggle. You know, it's what's next for us.
Yeah, I remember thinking about this when we were the mills first leave, and we're looking for a new big business to come in here. And there was I can't think of the name of the business, but there was a business that was talking about coming in here, bringing in like a 400,000 jobs, something like that. But it got nixed because of the smell. Because the people didn't want to deal with the smell. People didn't want to deal with that business and that smell and of that business in their community and everything. I remind everybody that we are formerly a paper mill community, and you can't travel anywhere without smelling that. But I digress, and we will move on. But your frustration, I think, is not only – you are not the only one feeling that. I think other individuals in this community do too as well. And just speaking for myself here, this is just James, not the mayor, not Civic, not anybody else talking. To those individuals that are holding things back, that are holding on to an old guard, that are holding on to an old way, do you really love this area? Do you really care about Wisconsin Rapids? Because this is the test. It's not about you. It's about the future. If you care about the future of this area, if you don't want this town to end up like some other towns in our area, in our surrounding area in central Wisconsin here, you got to care about this stuff. You got to think about the future. None of it, miss me with this, well, I'm not even going to be alive, or it doesn't affect me. It's not about you. It's about the future. It's about this community growing and getting stronger and continuing to thrive. We are lucky, and I mean lucky, that we got out of the pandemic the way we did. Other communities did not fare nearly as well as ours. We got to take that and do something with it. We can't just look at that and wipe our head. Whew! We dodged that bullet. No, we didn't. The bullets are still coming. Oh, yeah. We've got it. We've got more to dodge here. We've got a lot of work to do. It's and we're very fortunate that we're able to do this not from the basement like other communities. We've actually got a foundation. We've had some. Mm-hmm. We've got some good things going on in this community. Mm-hmm. We've got to strike while the iron is hot when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned businesses coming to the area. There's only so much we can do about our overall income for our community. But we can bring people in. We can encourage people to come in. We can be a welcoming community. We can be a community that doesn't just say to foreign, you know, people that are maybe not of your ilk or of the same skin tone or these kind of things. Hey, we welcome you. Hey, we want you here. You a hard worker? Come to Wisconsin Rapids. We'll put you to work. We'll get you an income. We'll get you know, some good things going here. There are ways we can make an impact. And hopefully by doing that, we encourage businesses to come here. Yep. and to work with us.
Yeah, and, you know, even just the tourist dollars, you know, Town of Rome has been successful with golf courses down there and growth. And, yeah, so, you know, people with ATVs and UTVs are very popular down there. They're not going to come to Rapids, but they can go to the Dells and they can ride around down there. And those are tourist dollars, and those are dollars that we need to capture and take every opportunity that we can to do that, because we're struggling otherwise.
It's a very frustrating missed opportunity, the ATV thing. Yeah. And it reminds me of other incidents and things like this that do that. And again, I'm not begrudging. I'm thankful to our senior population. I'm Absolutely. Thankful to our older people out there. They are trailblazers. They paved the way for us to be here and to be able to be doing these things. But I speak to them as well. Change is not as scary or bad as it may seem. And the individuals that are proposing these things have done their homework.
Oh, yeah.
They know what they're talking about. They're not proposing this because they're just taking a shot at this. No, they've done the homework. They know that this could impact our community and make it better.
Yeah, and we're not blazing the trail here. You know, this Point already has trails that go on the edge of town. Marshfield's opened up. You know, there's a lot of other communities that have opened up. And is there going to be a problem? Absolutely. We have problems with vehicles and drunk driving.
We already got
problems. Motorcycles.
Yeah.
And not everybody. You're going to have some bad, hopefully the good way outweighs the bad. But the only way you know is if you're going to try it. And our council decided not to try it. And so here we are. And so now hopefully they might try to put together a referendum and kind of work on that. And we'll have to wait and see. And hopefully maybe the community will know better than our council and will vote in favor of it.
Yeah, I will say that when it comes to the member I was mentioning before about how important it is to, you know, while there is need for accountability, there is also need of respect when it comes to our our politicians and our people that are in public office and everything. There's also that accountability part too. If you're not listening to your community, we will replace you. We will find people that will listen to the community.
Yeah, so that's the election part, you know.
Yeah, that's the election part of that. This whole thing. I say it to our senators and congressmen every time I'm with them as well. You're a hired hand. You have a job to do. If you're not listening to your community, we will find people that will listen.
Yeah, and a small example is, you know, we explained it last night, and it's kind of complicated, but we can only raise our taxes $42,000, and it's based on your new growth, new construction. We pay $500,000 to turn on the streetlights and keep our streetlights on every year. $500,000. But we can raise our taxes only $42,000. And so that money has to come from somewhere. And, you know, the only way you can do it is increase your tax base. Our taxes don't go up, but our tax base increases with new businesses and those type of things. And otherwise, we're going to end up not being able to provide services. And it's going to come down to it with that kind of growth or lack of growth. Mm. We're going to have to cut something because there is an expense side to this. And the revenue is not coming in, and expenses exceeding revenues, and it's going to go backwards eventually here.
Noticed the other day that you are looking at recruiting for a Parks and Rec Commission appointment. We have that out there?
Yep. I think we have Board of Review and Board of Zoning Appeals I'm looking for. Yes. Also. And so, yeah, we had an opening. A person had to step away. And mm-hmm. so, but Park and Rec's a fun board to be on and yeah. commission because, you know, it's over our parks and programs, and I think it's a good thing in the community.
Mm-hmm. If people are interested in finding out more about that, send them to the website?
Yep, the website. You can do an application on there. And
yeah, wirapids.org is that website. If you don't already have it bookmarked, be sure to do so. Type it into your search bar, wirapids.org, and bookmark that page. Keep up to date on all the good things going on in our community. Also recently had a budget hearing. Any highlights from that?
Yeah, so last night, I forgot to mention that they approved the levy. So for our budget, it's been approved for next year. So that was good. A couple of projects in there, nothing major, but I think the biggest thing what most of us will be happy to that they're finally redoing Lincoln Street's coming up next year. Yeah. So from Grand Avenue to the Expressway, that will be redone with a kind of a rec trail that will basically connects the west side to the east side to the aquatics. And so that'll be exciting to see that finally mm-hmm. get done because that's pretty rough road.
Yeah. As you're going into the end of the run here, are there any individual things that you're trying to get accomplished and do? I know we've touched on this last time. I'm probably going to keep coming back to this one.
Well, hopefully whoever's the next mayor, but I'm going to try to get it done before the next mayor gets here. But mm-hmm. it's going to be tight. You know, there's in the budget, there's a bridge lighting project. And like that, it's kind of been something I've talked about for a while, like the dog park. And so we'll see. But hopefully we can get that done. And if not, then the next mayor can hopefully finish that up. But I think that'll be a really neat downtown project. And you know, the different lights on the bridge during the seasons, I think would be really neat.
Since you brought this up, because I never thought of this before, and since you brought it up, I cannot go over the bridge and not think about it. I swear, like every time I'm over the bridge, I'm thinking about it. I think great points. It'd be very cool. It would be a fun thing to have for our community. But going back to what we were talking about before, if I'm driving around and I'm checking out areas. Like I remember my papa when he first moved to this area, he was a semi driver for Spectre for 40 some years. He'd go from Chicago to Canada, and he came through this area. And through that process, he came across the Rome area mm-hmm. and fell in love with it. But he didn't want to. He moved there in part because there was a Pritzels there. There was a business in within, you know, shouting distance and everything. Other communities that he had gone through, he didn't see that. He'd have to travel like 45 minutes to get to a grocery store. Or something. What he liked about Rome was obviously the beauty of it, but also the connection of having not only a Pritzels there, but having Rapids like, you know, 20 minutes away, not even. That kind of stuff matters. The little things that my papa saw in the communities in Rapids here and in Rome and Nakusa, they stood out to him. It made him want to come here. Yep. I'm an individual. I'm checking out this area for myself or for my family. I'm driving down one of the streets or one over one of the bridges, and I see these things. That's just one more thing that's going to pull me in. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know how many of those things, you know, add up and make an individual, you know what? that's where I want to raise my family, Wisconsin Rapids.
Yep. It's quality of life. And
yeah,
as Kyle Kearns always says, creating a sense of place.
Yeah. Mayor, I look forward to every chance we get to hang out and talk. Appreciate the time and appreciate what you're doing for the community. If people have follow-up questions, want to talk with you or individually or anything else, how can they do that?
Shoot me an email. If you go out to the website, you can find our email there, or 715-421-8202 is my direct line.
And again, that website, wirapids.org, is the website to go to find out more information about some of the other things we've talked about today. We always say a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Thanks to them. We'll talk with you guys real soon, and Shane, we'll talk next month.
Perfect. Look forward to it.
Looking forward to our next guest on Midday Magazine, coming up right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There was more public comment both in favor of and against passing the ATV-UTV ordinance at the Common Council meeting last night.
It's a low-cost investment to get it going, but it's a huge potential return and something that's going to help everybody in the community and give people in the community something to do, an option, an opportunity.
One council member spoke for allowing citizens to bring it to referendum because the council cannot.
To get to the direct legislation referendum, we have to vote it down so that they can then circulate the papers and bring it on the ballot.
Mayor Shane Blazer, who wouldn't vote unless there was a tie, spoke strongly in favor of passing the ordinance.
If we're not going to try to do something different in this community, I think we're in trouble. We definitely are in trouble because we are not growing.
The Common Council voted the ATV-UTV ordinance down with 2 yes votes and 6 no's. The county budget was passed at the meeting with a 6-2 vote. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly clear tonight with a low of 38. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Right now, looking forward to talking to these gentlemen. We have in with us today, Bob, how do I say this? Durazinski?
Perfect.
Ha! I nailed it. That rarely happens, Bob. Bob is with us as part of the Association of All Handicapped Citizens. Thank you for being here, Bob. Appreciate the time. And we'll wrap up talking with our friend Mike Barnes, Winter Farmers Market. Mike, you're becoming a regular around here.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah. We appreciate the time. Thanks for being here. So, Bob, first, if you don't mind, thank you for being here, first off. Again, I know you've joined us before, but I was telling the guys during the pregame here that I don't feel like we talk nearly enough about this organization and talk with you enough about it. So get used to being here. Like Mike, you're probably going to become a regular.
Happy to do it.
Bob, first off, if you don't mind, can we talk about what the organization is?
Our organization is a United Way funded group that our goal is to improve the quality of life for individuals with intellectual, developmental, or physical disabilities within the community. We provide activities that allow disabled adults to interact with one another, whether they have similar disabilities, different disabilities, mm-hmm. but giving them a social outlet to do some things they may not normally get to do.
Yeah. I want to get into the resources, the actions, the things, the programs, the things that you guys do. But before we go too far into that, I would think that just the organization existing in itself is a big piece of this. That having a handicap, people having knowing that somebody has their back.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And that's one of my main purposes here is to kind of get the word out there that we exist.
Yeah.
We have been around since 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So
been around a long time.
We've been around a long time, and I'm always surprised that when I tell people about it, they're like, oh, I didn't know that existed. So,
you know, and it speaks to, I think, the underlying problem with this in that the way we have treated so many of our handicapped citizens for really ever. We've never really done a great job as a society of this, of taking care of our handicapped citizens. And it's compounded by the fact that so few people know of this organization. That just it's a perfect example of what we're talking about here, the intention we need to bring. You know, in this day and age, in 2023, we have a very woke culture. We have a very open culture that is looking to show more representation and do a better job of correcting things from the past. Yet with this subject, we seem to be missing the mark. Mm-hmm. We seem to have still not hit it with our handicapped citizens. Are you seeing that from your organization? Because I know I am, Bob.
I would agree wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. It is like they're the forgotten stepchild.
Yeah, it seems that way. Which is so wild to me because, unlike certain other things, like I'm Jewish, okay? So let's say, you know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism out there right now, and me, my tribe, my people, along with many others, are coming out against this, of course. And that makes sense, but that's a niche of society. Whereas handicapped citizens are in all parts of society, in all, rich, poor, man, woman, cat, dog, doesn't matter. Everybody's affected by this. So you would think that there would be much more attention eternally, almost naturally to it, yet there isn't. Why do you think that is, Bob?
That's a hard one to
there's no answer,
put your
is
finger
there?
On.
Yeah, there's no. I'm sure it's one of these things that there's no set answer for necessarily. Right. But you would. I don't even have anything to like kick it off, like to get the conversation going as far as what the problems might be with it. Other than, you know, I don't think this is a problem, but I do think that it is on us as citizens to bring attention to this organization.
Right, and I think just the awareness is probably the biggest problem is people not being aware of what is available in their own hometowns.
We're going to do our best to help out with that and bring more and more attention to this as you and I talk more and more over time here. What are some of the things and some of the programs that are available through this organization?
Well, every month, the first Wednesday of every month, we hold a dance at the Beer and Town Hall.
Hmm.
Every month is a different theme, so this last week was Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Next month will be Christmas. Santa will be there. And so on throughout the year, depending on the holiday and the month.
Yeah.
It's usually geared around that. We also do, and there's, along with that dance, we do a meal that is sponsored by different organizations in the area, churches, things like that. And there's music, DJs, or live bands.
Are these fundraising opportunities?
No.
No, just
these
events.
Are just purely
just
something fun for
very cool
people to attend and do. There's also, throughout the year, we have bingo. And again, we have prizes that have been donated for that bingo for
nice
people to hopefully win.
Yes.
We also do a fishing for fun that is kind of sponsored in tandem with the Wilderness Sportsman's Club.
Nice.
Which is a fun time for people to get out, and hopefully the weather is nice. It's usually in August when we do that.
Yeah.
We do River King games, rafter games, as other things for getting people out of wherever they're living and just have a opportunity to socialize.
You know, this is another one of those gray areas that doesn't usually get covered when it comes to our handicapped citizens, is activities, things to do, just simply that. Things where they are not just you know, having to call ahead or look online or hope that there is a you know, their wheelchair accessible or something like that, but having events that are actually designed for that.
Correct.
That's key to the organization, it seems like.
It is. And every month, as people come to the dances and things like that, we give them reminders of what's coming up or sign-up lists if they want to attend. So we kind of have an idea of how many tickets we need for games, things like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to see everybody partake in the sheer joy that they get out of it. You don't see a lot of that anymore in the world. It's
no.
Just people having fun.
Well, and it's one of those things where you can almost guarantee it's a fun time. You go to something like this and you're going to be around some amazing people and a good vibe, a good atmosphere.
Yeah, we have a great group of board members. We have 10 board members. Generally, you have boards where you have presidents, vice presidents, things like that. We do have that, but in reality, not one person on the board is more important than the other. We all are working towards the same thing, the same goal.
Bob, we're speaking with Bob from the Association of All Handicapped Citizens. And Bob, the way I was raised, my mom and dad was very important to them. I had an open mind, open heart. I learned about all religions. I've learned about different creeds, all these different things. Where I grew up in Chicago was a melting pot. I grew up around every race under the sun and all this. But there was one thing that my parents, not to their fault, but just missed and didn't really hit on. And it was handicapped citizens. And I didn't grow up around a lot of that. And I noticed as a teenager that I had this friend, Jeremy, who had cerebral palsy. And Jeremy, one of the coolest, nicest guys I've ever known. But Jeremy really wanted to do everything himself. And I didn't want to let him do everything himself. I always wanted to open the door for him, wanted to do this, wanted to do that. And it finally took, I slept over his house one night and he finally kind of that's enough. I was trying to hand him a game controller or something. He's like, look, I can get it myself. I didn't learn a lot of these things early on. It took me experiences to learn it. I know I'm not alone on this. When it comes to dealing with our handicapped citizens, is there something that you think, God, it'd be great if everybody knew this, if everybody could handle it this way or something?
It would just be great if people had the ability to reach out to anybody and spend some time with them, doing whatever. It always amazes me to when I'm spending time with anybody with any kind of handicap, just to observe how they go about dealing with things that most of us take for granted.
Right.
It's their normal. And like you said, you want to open doors for them. They don't need that.
Right.
If they need it, they'll ask.
Right. Yes. And, yeah. It took me a long time to learn that.
Just being aware of kind of the different boundaries of respect.
Yes. Simple respect. I'm glad you said that word, because that was something that I learned through Jeremy, that I've learned some other friends of mine. I have I'm an actor, and I have a good friend of mine who's blind, and talking with him a lot about rehearsals or auditioning and how grueling that can be. And I think about how I go into these auditions and I'm beating myself up, or I'm thinking this and this and this isn't working or whatever. And I think about his situation, where half the time he wants to audition for something, they send him a script. It's not even in Braille, it's these kind of things. And they just expect him to work around it and everything. They don't work with him. They expect him to work around it. And he doesn't complain. He just does it. He just figures it out. He transfers it into Braille or something like that. Like, anytime I want to complain, I think about him, and it gives me perspective. And it gives me a chance to kind of think about what I have in comparison and how that is. And from what I've talked to a number of handicapped people, this seems to be a good perspective to have. It's a good thing to take from the situation. It's also, I think, important too to realize that this one of the things, and you can correct me if this isn't correct, Bob, but that to not look at somebody as they need help or lesser than, or as if handicap means there's something wrong. Necessarily, there's nothing wrong with any of these individuals. They're just different than us, just like I have different colored hair than you have, Bob, or something like that. It's no different than that.
You're correct. It's if you spend enough time with any person, disabled or otherwise, you will find they have things that they're maybe not that good at, or things they excel at. Everybody has something.
Well said.
To a certain degree.
Bob, we always like to, you mentioned the United Way, that this is an organization associated with them. We're great friends with our United Way around here. We love our United Way, and we know it's campaign season for them. So certainly want to encourage people to put into the United Way to help with causes like this, with organizations and programs like this that are doing some of the most vital work in our community. Wanted to bring attention to that, but Bob, is there anything else, as we're wrapping up our part of the conversation, that you feel people should know about this organization, that you'd like to get out there to people? And you'll have other opportunities, sir. So this isn't the last time you're joining us. So
I would encourage anybody, if they know of anybody who has a handicap, Again, this, just want to mention, this is mainly geared towards adults with handicaps,
yes,
not children.
Yeah.
There's many other, I guess,
yeah,
things for those younger people to take part in. But if you know of anybody or know of somebody who knows of somebody, and you're hearing this, reach out to those people and let them know that we exist and some of the things we talked about, the dances, all the other activities, ball games, bingo, and invite them to check us out. We do have a Facebook page. You can call Donna at 715-424-5639 if you have any questions or comments about the organization or how to go about attending anything. She would be the person to talk to.
Same thing with volunteering. If people want to volunteer and help out with that way, reach her.
Yep. Donna would be the person to talk to.
Excellent. We'll probably get that information from you again before we wrap up. But Bob, thank you again so much for being here and for the conversation. Appreciate you and all you're doing.
Thank you.
Now, Mike, your turn. Wake up, Mike.
Hello.
Mike's
hello.
Awake. Mike's awake. No, Mike, thanks again for being here. Appreciate the time.
Well, I appreciate the time you gave us, yes.
I wanted to talk with you about the Winter Farmers Market. And, of course, we've touched on this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, building into the Farmers Market. And how? Just wondering real quickly, before we get into the details of when people could take it in, how is it going so far?
Well, it's started. We've got, you know, about 10 vendors so far. We're trying to get more vendors, you know. We want to make it more interesting for people, you know, always a challenge in winter because, you know, there's certainly not as many people growing vegetables and things like that. So it gets harder. But, you know, that's it's going well.
Good. Good to hear. Of course, the Winter Farmers Market goes on Saturdays from 9 to 1 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Keep that in mind, everybody. The Moravian Church is at 310 First Avenue South right here in Rapids. Can't miss it.
Yep.
When it comes to the types of vendors that we have there, do we have a wide variety of vendors over there yet?
Well, currently, we have baked goods, egg rolls, salsas, snacks. We will have microgreens from Patriot Greens when they get that put together. We have some apple products and honeys from Mike Spike. There's some 3D printed crafts. There's some snack food. So there's a number of interesting vendors.
Yeah,
all in tamales.
We
can't forget tamales.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't forget the tamales. Yes.
No, those are good. Yeah, you cannot miss those. So we've got a wide variety of different things over there with that. How are you for space with the vendors that you have?
We still have plenty of space open for vendors, yes.
Okay.
We have quite a few that we're talking to that are thinking of joining us. You know, we'd like to see that go. You know, this fall session will run through December 16th. We are closed Thanksgiving weekend. And then we start up again January 6th, and that's our long session. We run January 6th through May 18th. So we're, you know, and as winter sets in, you know, sometimes we actually get more people coming in to see us and more vendors interested because, you know, all the holiday distractions start winding down.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. Any second now, that's going to kick into gear. That's going to get going. And it seems like a blur up until January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the vendors out there that might be listening that want to be a part of this, we'll let them know how they can be a part of the Winter Farmers Market before we wrap up as well.
Sure.
But are we looking, you mentioned bring in different types of vendors. So that's something, certainly you've heard the things that Mike was mentioning before. If you are selling different types of items, please do reach out because that is something we'd love to add to this to the farmers market.
Yes, we're very open on the type of vendors that could join us. You know, we're trying to get more, as much as possible, more farmer type items. You know, but there, like I said, there are some limitations that come with being in the middle of the winter, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, we're certainly open to, you know, crafts and even direct sell vendors. You know, we got a pretty good amount of space.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to fill it up for people to make it interesting, a fun place to come on Saturday morning.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, Mike, because while all the vendors and so many, the baked goods, so many of these things, it's all great and all good reasons to stop by, buy local, support local. That includes our vendors. That includes events at the Moravian Church, things like that. But the thing that every year I hear about this, that I and it happens with the farmers market in general, the summer farmers market as well, I hear from people, I hear from our listeners every year, did you go to the farmers market yet? Oh, because I ran into so-and-so, and I haven't seen them in years. like it feels like, yes, we love all these other things, but that is one of the most fun parts of this, is the organic relationships that get made, or, you know, get you see somebody you haven't seen in a while, or something like that. A community hub. It's an opportunity for people to come together.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen that, you know, many people come and they meet each other there at the market, say, oh, you know, how you doing? Mm-hmm. I know that my wife and I went to a summer market or two, and we ran into people she hadn't seen for years, you know. So, yes, it's definitely community is part of the thing.
Are there types of vendors that that would not work at the Moravian Church, in case they are listening out there and they don't? Because I can't think of any that couldn't necessarily, but just in case, I wanted to make sure to cover that. I can't think of any that couldn't, though.
The one thing that comes to mind would be flea market style things.
Right, you know, okay, sure.
Or not a garage sale flea market type thing. You
know? Nobody selling horses. Nobody, no, that don't have that much room. But otherwise, I bring it up for the point of, you know, if you're out there, if you're a vendor, come on by, reach out
come
to us.
By.
Got the room, and I can't imagine many people outside of maybe a flea market situation that couldn't work out over there at the Moravian Church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, though, Mike. When it comes to the events, the things at the farmers market, do you have something that is your favorite that stands out to you that you would encourage people to check out?
Well, going to be my
favorite. It's a tough question.
Going to be my favorite real quickly. December 2nd, we have Visit Santa at the market.
Oh, there you go.
We're going to have a Santa arranged. We're working on some of the details, but we will have refreshments. We know for sure we're going to have things like coffee, hot chocolates, water. We're going to have cookies and baked goods. I'm going to be talking to some vendors and see how they might be able to participate. We haven't figured out exactly how we're going to do it yet, but we might have a couple raffle baskets with gift certificates and Moravian Stars, maybe. We're busy working on that. Mm-hmm. Bob works with me on this. He's one of the people helping me out, and we got some other people. So, yeah, we're working on that a lot.
Mike, I hope you know I respect you, and I really appreciate the time from you. You buried the lead. You got Santa coming? You
landed.
That's a get. We can't even get him on Midday Magazine. I can't even get him on here. That's a get there, sir.
Yes,
nicely done by you guys. So, that's going to be fun.
Well, we think it'll be a fun day. And it'll be a chance for the church to interact with the general public. You know, we hopefully have some of our church members there and just talk with people.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Well, and in all seriousness, you know, you have Santa there. That brings the kids in. And, mm-hmm. and for kids, I feel like I shouldn't have to, but I always feel like I can't help myself reminding adults they're sponges. These kids are sponges, and they're seeing how we're acting, they're seeing how we handle each other, how we treat each other. And when you bring your kid to a winter farmer's market, they're seeing you buy local. They're seeing you how important that is to you. Those hard dollars that you've earned, you're spending with locals. You're keeping in your community. That they take that in. They learn from that. They are raised on that, and they want to act like that. They want to be like that. And then there's also just the interacting with just people, and just seeing that, and gets good for kids. So There is another layer to this. While it is fun, there's never a bad time seeing kids getting excited about Santa.
Right.
That's never going to get old. There's also that part of it that I think is really cool, too, of giving kids an opportunity to see, hey, we don't just say buy local, support local. We're actually doing it. We're actually putting our dollars into it.
Yes, absolutely. That's they're going to mirror the behaviors they see from us.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the farmers market that we haven't touched on you want to make sure we get to?
We are closed November 24th, Thanksgiving Day weekend. Our second session will be closed the Easter weekend, but otherwise we should be there every weekend. There's contact information. You can go to the wrmoravian.org.
Mm-hmm.
There is a place there for customers, winter market. It'll mm-hmm. say winter market, and there's one there for the vendors. A direct link for the vendors is wrmoravian.org/market-vendors.html. That'll take them directly to the vendor page.
Mm-hmm.
There's information in there for people.
Yeah, yeah.
When we're open, access.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we are handicapped access and, mm-hmm. Information they need to know how to come.
The Wisconsin Rapids Indoor Winter Farmers Market at the Moravian Church goes on Saturdays, 9 to 1, over at 3rd Avenue South, right there, 310 1st Avenue South. Can't miss it right here in Rapids. And as Mike was telling you there, you can find out more at WRMoravian.org, WRMoravian.org. Also encourage people to, if you are interested in the services that Beth and the team offer over there, she puts that on their YouTube page every Sunday. I know my father loves it. Encourage you to check it out. Just type into your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and subscribe to their page. Bob, as we're wrapping up here, you had some information for us you read earlier. If you wouldn't mind repeating that again, the number of the lady that people can call if they'd like to volunteer or just find out more about the organization, Association of All Handicapped Citizens.
Correct. There's also, like I mentioned, a Facebook group named Association of All Handicapped Citizens. You can check out or call Donna at 715-424-5639.
Bob, Mike, I genuinely mean it. I really appreciate you guys not only being here, but what you're doing for our communities. Keep up the great work. Let us know if there's anything else we can do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks, guys. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's holding high-stakes talks with China's president today at APEC in Northern California.
There is no substitute to face-to-face discussions. I've always found our discussions straightforward and frank, and I've always appreciated them.
Their meeting's expected to run about 4 hours long. Thomas Hand is living every Israeli parent's worst nightmare right now. He tells CBS Mornings his 8-year-old daughter Emily is being held hostage by Hamas.
Even if she's been treated nice, she's terrified. Every hour of every day, she's terrified. She's kidnapped.
New Jersey's First Lady Tammy Murphy announced she's running for U.S. Senate.
I'm Tammy Murphy, and I'm ready to work every single day in the United States Senate for you, your family, and our country.
Her bids to replace embattled Senator Bob Menendez, who's facing federal corruption charges, he's pleaded not guilty. There are three other Democrats running in that race. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers appear to be safe at home. The American Family Field bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he has said he'll sign it. The amended bill that passed the legislature yesterday asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewers events at the stadium. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The 2023 bear hunting season numbers are in and fell well below the yearly average, making it the lowest yearly bear harvest since 2008. Here's Brittany Merlot with the details.
The DNR says Wisconsin hunters only took 2,922 bears during this year's black bear season, when the five-year average has been around 4,000 bears. This decline was seen statewide. Hunter success dropped from 32% to 23%. The DNR blames the remarkably high acorn crop across the area, as this abundance of natural food typically results in reduced hunter success rates, as hunters' baits are less effective.
iSpoon Sushi Grill and Buffet in Wisconsin Rapids officially reopens today. The restaurant suffered a fire in the kitchen at the end of October and had to close their doors. The fire was located mainly in the vent system in the kitchen and had to be extinguished from the roof. iSpoon reopened at 11 on Wednesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. A press conference tomorrow. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks in Toronto tonight to face the Raptors. Giannis Antetokounmpo says the players' relationship with their new and first-time head coach, Adrian Griffin, is more like a partnership.
For 10 games, right now, with all the expectations that we have as a team, all of a sudden, you know, everybody cares about the Milwaukee Bucks. Going out there, try to win games. And I know, like, coach is getting better each game. We are trying to get better each game. But at the end of the day, as I said, this is a partnership. You know, I don't think in every team in the NBA that's the case. But for sure here, Griff is definitely been a partnership with everybody, not just me, with every single player.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 38 tonight, under mainly clear skies, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, highs around 64. 30 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the home finale against the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Our coverage begins at 4:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.